Well, good morning, village.
Good morning.
Top of the morning, as the Irish would say. If you're not Irish, you can be. Everybody is Irish on St. Patrick's Day. May Irish eyes smile upon you. May the wind always be at your back. And may you feel God's hand upon your back as you go along this week. Do the announcements. Again, thank you for your help with Warm Nights. And we read these on Sunday morning just to give you another reminder. We have lots of reminders, but it helps when, you know, you get these little nuggets, especially for those of us that are old. It helps. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and there will be a special program, The Passion According to Matthew. And there will be a brass quartet that will provide some special music. Monday, Thursday, the joint service with United Parish is at 7 o'clock here at Village. The Good Friday service is also a joint worship service with United Parish at 7 at United Parish. Excuse me. Easter sunrise service is at 6:30 a.m. with regular worship at 11 a.m. The Hallelujah Chorus will be sung at the end of the 11 o'clock worship service. The Easter offering will go to support Reverend Carmela Jones. Contributions can be made through Tithely, the drop-down, or the Easter offering designated on the memo line. From the beloved community, remember to send a note to someone you don't know that well. If you'd like to join the beloved community committee, contact Karen Woodson or Denise Miles. The Village Voice deadline for April is this Wednesday. Worship and Music meets on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Have I forgotten anything? It doesn't look like it. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you. Jesus taught us that we must forgive, but at times we find this too hard to do. We have been hurt and we hurt others. At times we have become angered by the actions of others to the point that we carried a grudge. But sometimes this grudge can define who we are. We light as a symbol of light of Jesus Christ and our faith in him, forgiveness as we forgive to help us, we are loved. Let us pray. God, forgive us and our shortcomings and help us to forgive others. As we journey towards the cross this Lenten season, help us to let go of the grudge and forgive and seek forgiveness where we have gone wrong. Amen.
Good morning, Village. Good to see everyone this morning. A lot of you are wearing green. How about that? I'm not Irish. But Judy says I can be, so. We welcome all of you this morning. We're going to have a time of prayer, and we'll invite you to share your concerns. Those who are watching with us today, online, you need to know we're going to mute you for just a short time as we share these concerns, and then we'll bring you right back as the prayer begins. What do you have to share this morning, Village? What's on your heart? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Will you bow with me? Loving God, we thank you that you hear and respond to our prayers. We thank you that you know us by name. We're sorry for the times when we have not been present to you, for all the times when we have looked for you in all the wrong places. Help us to be more sensitive to your presence as we find your glory in the majesty of a sunset or in the smile of a child. We pray today for those who hunger or thirst, those who cry out for justice, those who live under the threat of terror and war, those who live without a place to lay their head at night. We give thanks for those who confront conflict with nonviolence. Help us and guide us to seek out options for a better way. There's so many opportunities for ministry around us. Help us to be awake to those opportunities. Inspire us to live and work and pray for peace and the healing of this broken world and broken relationships. We pray today for those who are ill, for those who are in pain. For those who are caring for others. Many are searching for work, for meaning, for purpose in their lives. Lord, sustain them by your Spirit. We We pray for our missionaries, Gladys and Carmela, that you would prosper their ministries. Long ago, you taught your disciples that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So as we prepare to remember your entry into Jerusalem next Sunday, and your death and your resurrection, give us the strength and the will and the wisdom to serve you and to follow you. Lord, hear the prayer of every heart, spoken and unspoken, for we offer them up in the name and spirit of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
It's time for the children's story. May I ask what you're laughing at, folks? This big hat. I tried to get my kids to wear it, being they're part Irish, and they refused, so I had to do it. I said, represent your culture, boys. Come on. Can you guys scooch down a little bit? Well, I gotta say, I was gonna start off with the top of the morning to you, but Miss Judy decided to steal my thunder, so thank you for that. But at any rate, good morning, everybody. And so we all know today is St. Patrick's Day. Now, let me ask you before we really get into our story, when you all think of St. Patrick's Day, what are some things that come to mind? Raise your hand. Yes, Avery. Leprechauns. Yes, Owen. St. Patrick, Jordan. They stole your thunder too, didn't they? What's that? I'm sorry? Green stuff. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Easter.
Well, Easter is coming very close. You're right. Okay, let's see. Of course my middle child has to talk. Yes, sir. What do you got? Joy, he says. So, there's lots of things we think about that are fun. Some of you may be going to a St. Patrick's Day parade today or have had one already. A lot of us are wearing green. I don't know if it still happens. I know when I was coming up, if you were in class caught not wearing green, somebody pinched you. I'm not sure if that's allowed in schools anymore. In fact, one of my fellow congregants made a joke about pinching somebody for not wearing green. We're of the same mind. Now, so some of you may be wondering why we're talking about St. Patrick, because we don't have saints in the Baptist tradition. But we worship the same mighty God, and there are some things we can learn for our own daily lives from Patrick's life. So Patrick's story really began when he was 16 years old. He was born in England, and he was taken by Irish pirates to Ireland, and he spent about 6 years in captivity. Imagine that. Taken from your home. He didn't always have enough food to eat. He didn't always have clothes on his back. Obviously, being a captive and a slave, he had to work incredibly hard. And then one night, during that six-year period, God spoke to him. As hopefully, I know he speaks to many of us sometimes, especially when we pray. And God told him to try to get back home. So he did. He managed to find his way to a ship that got him back to England. Can I ask you guys, if you had been taken from your home, and you didn't have much to eat for a while, you didn't have clothes on your back, you had to do the kind of work that no human being should ever have to do, how do you think you may feel? Anybody? Jordan? Like you want to punch him? Okay. Like you want to punch him, yes. Anybody else? Yes, young lady. You want to pray? Yes. Anyone else?
Like you're upset.
Upset, yes indeed. Yes indeed. Yes, Owen.
Mad.
All those things are true. And sad. And all of those things are true. Now, when he got home for the next 20 years of his life, he also had a calling to learn God's word and to spread God's word, spread the gospel. And he wanted to go back to where he had been held captive to pray with the people and others that may have taken him from his home. That says a lot about who Patrick was, I think. The church in England didn't want him to go back, so it took him 20 years to finally get back to Ireland. But eventually, he did go back to Ireland, and for 30 years, he crisscrossed the country, spreading the gospel, building believers. It is said that about 170,000 people in Ireland learned to follow Christ through Patrick. That may not seem like a big number in the world we have today, but this was quite a long time ago. So it's quite a few people. And it's also said that about 300 churches were built in Ireland because of his work. Now today, people use this. It's a little, I don't know if people can see it, but this is a, see what this is, guys? It's a clover. It is a shamrock, a clover, and it's a four-leaf clover, which is used for good luck these days. But one thing that's interesting is, pretend I don't have that fourth good luck leaf, and you have three things. And one thing St. Patrick did was he used the clover, which are plentiful throughout Ireland, apparently, that each one helped make the Trinity that we believe as Christians. So one leaf stood for the Heavenly Father, another leaf stood for his son Jesus, and then the third leaf represented the Holy Spirit, which we all need to kind of have our commune with God. And when he would use the shamrock, he would hold it up and he said, is it one leaf or is it three? Is it both one leaf and three? What do you guys think? Yes, Owen. Well, it's one and three, right? Because it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I think that the lesson for us is, from what he went through, he decided he wanted to go back where he had been held captive and enslaved or indentured and spread the word, and he did. In fact, some people think that during a time called the Dark Ages, which is not a children's story, but it was a sad time in Europe for many, many decades, that he helped keep Christianity alive in Ireland. So. Let us remember the lesson that it's okay for us to be upset when we're wronged. We are going to wrong people, but that forgiveness is one of the most important things we learn about as we walk with God. Let's say a quick prayer. Dear God, thank you for the story of St. Patrick that all of us as Christians can learn from. And Lord, we really pray for the courage to forgive people who have done us wrong. And we humbly ask that when we need to be forgiven, that we speak up and say so. In his name we pray, amen. Everyone stay put. I think we're going to have some special music.
Still.
was absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much. The scripture for today. Now, before I do this, Bradley, I am so sorry I didn't welcome you when we were doing the announcements. I didn't see you, but we are so glad to see you. Thank you for coming back to us. The scripture for today is John 12, 20 to 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. Praise be the word of the Lord.
Yesterday, I officiated at the memorial service for my best friend, and also a dear friend of Bruce Salmon. We both served in the church under him. His name was Don Harris, and he died early in 2023, and his wife Norma died at the end of 2023, and. So I'd ask your prayers for their son, Stephen, their daughter, Stacy. But as I was driving in this morning and thinking about Don, Terry and I were talking, Don used to have this joke he told a lot. But it kind of fits today. There's an old story about an Irish woman who was asked by a young pastor what she thought of his sermon. And she said, "Well, laddie, there were just three things wrong with it. One, you read it. Two, you didn't read it very well. And three, it wasn't worth reading." I hope I can do better than that. A little better anyway. I'm glad you're all here this morning. If I had time, I'd like to poll the congregation to try to find out what celebrities you've met in your life, in your journey through life. Might be interesting. My earliest memory of meeting a celebrity was in the small town of Gloversville, New York, where I grew up. As a boy, I was introduced to the governor of New York State at the Elks Club, there in that small town, Nelson Rockefeller. And later on, I met Robert Kennedy when he was campaigning for the US Senate. I was just a boy, but I still remember that. How many of you know the name Jimmy Durante? Oh, good. He was a singer, a piano player, and so forth. He had a very large nose. And I met him in a restaurant in Philadelphia with, we had a large group of people. And one person in our group had a kind of a large nose too. And he went up to Durante and he said, Mr. Durante, what do you think of this? And Durante in that gravelly voice said, kid, you ain't got nothing. I met George Allen of the Redskins, Daryl Green at a youth gathering. When I was walking through the Capitol one day, I almost literally ran into Ted Kennedy. And I've met Justice Thomas. I've only been to one presidential inauguration because somebody gifted me with the tickets. But I saw a stream of celebrities that day, just a large number. I'm not name dropping here. I'm just pointing out how exciting it can be to meet a celebrity. And in our text today, Jesus is something of a celebrity. He had just raised Lazarus from the grave. His name was becoming better and better known. John's gospel tells us that there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the Passover festival, and they were looking for this celebrity, Jesus. And they came to Philip with a request. You know, sometimes it's not what we know, it's who we know. So they go to Philip. Philip being a Greek name, maybe there's a connection there, wink, wink. But say, sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Well, who wouldn't? I mean, I would place that at the top of the list of people I would most like to meet. I'd love to have seen Jesus. I would love to have watched him preach and teach and heal. Why do you suppose these Greeks wanted to see Jesus? Probably means just what it says. They just wanted to see him. They wanted a meeting with him. They wanted to see what he was all about. Well, Jesus hears about this request from Philip, and in his own way, he begins to identify that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Interesting word, that word glory. It's interesting to see who this world glorifies. Those weighted with glory in our society get a lot of press. They get a lot of attention. But sometimes I think it's just filling our souls with junk food. You know, you can tell a lot about a culture, I think, by watching who it is that we praise. We praise those who make the headlines. We praise those who make the big money. We praise a lot of people who entertain us. We praise those who win the Super Bowl. But the teacher who gives a lifetime in a small rural school, or the coach who works two jobs so that he can stay at that inner city school, not so much. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. And the images that Jesus employs here are not popular in a culture like ours. So obsessed are we with working harder and smarter and faster to get ahead. So consumed with competition and beating others. So fixed are we on the pecking order and getting to the top of the heap. Hard for us to understand what he's talking about here. Jesus speaks about a grain of wheat dead in the earth. He speaks of his glory as his death. He speaks of losing life to find it, about having the courage to follow him. And he's showing us what the kingdom of God looks like. And quite frankly, that is so countercultural anymore. But Jesus knows who he is and why he's come and what he's here to do. And he's surrendering himself to God's will for the sake of glorifying God in all that he does and all that he says. We wish to see Jesus. One commentator I consulted this week said that we could make that our life mission. A lot of us would rather turn, I suppose, to self-help books or a life coach, and they could help us devise our mission in life about being successful and wealthy and all the rest. But the real goal in life, even if we're not aware of it, is simply this: we wish to see Jesus. Isn't that why we're here this morning? And I wonder if you could see him. I mean, physically see him. What do you think that experience would be like? What questions would you ask him? What would your expectations be? Do you think you'd be inspired, encouraged, strengthened, impressed? I wonder about these Greeks who came to see him. I wonder if they didn't go away feeling disappointed. You think they were any different than us? Maybe they were just looking for someone who could make them happy and healthy and wealthy. When they get to see him, and if they did, there's no evidence here that they did, but if they did, and they heard him speaking about wheat falling into the ground and losing life to find it, about the cost of following, maybe they began to see, you know, this Jesus is all about humility. His way is the way of sacrifice and service. He's united to us in our suffering. His glory isn't about gain and moving up. It's rather about being crucified. So great is his love for us. And I hear Jesus offering an alternative mission for life. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And I wonder, when was the last time we gave ourselves deeply, deeply for someone else? Last time when we really put ourselves aside for the sake of someone else. I was thinking last night about all of the prayer requests that we share with one another on a Sunday morning. I think that is really sacred time. And then I began to think about how many prayer requests I have received over the course of 40 years. I have no idea, but I'm sure it's been a lot. I've received requests for prayers for family, for son and daughter, for a marriage on the rocks, for someone caring for a loved one with dementia or Alzheimer's. I received a prayer request, I remember, someone who needed to know how to deal with a teenager. Don't we all? I've received prayer requests about employment issues. And this one will buckle your knees. I received a prayer request for a mother in our church whose son had been murdered. Prayer requests for infants, terribly sick. For someone with multiple myeloma and other cancers, for their caregivers. Prayer requests for guidance, prayer requests for those with chronic pain, prayers for release from anxiety or depression or addiction, requests for discerning God's will for someone suffering from fibromyalgia, for someone lost a friend at a young age in a car crash, for world leaders to have mercy and wisdom, for peace in the world and in the nation, for people in Gaza, and in just about every other part of the world at one time or another. And I could go on and on with a litany like that. But what it said to me, and maybe it'll say to us, is that you and I have good reason to live lives of sacrificial love. You and I have good reason to be those who give ourselves away for others. Good reason to be humble. Good reason to encourage others. Good reason to pray. 1 Peter 5 says, cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. There was a woman who had talent, great, great talent. She graduated first in her class in art school. She landed a great job with the best commercial graphics firm in the city. She pulled down a great income. She married a successful attorney, and a couple of years, they had a son. She was in her glory. Have you ever been in your glory? What does that look like for you? But she was in her glory. But the son was born with severe physical and mental issues and required full-time care. And she and her husband decided to look after the baby at home. He would cut back on his work. She would cut back on hers. That care was demanding. It was grueling. It was around the clock. And within a year, the husband left, leaving a note that said, I love you, but I can't take this anymore. I've got to have a life of my own. And she quit her job. She devoted full time to caring for the child, and the child lived longer than any doctor thought possible, probably because of such wonderful care and love. But after 8 years, the child passed. And at the funeral, speaker after speaker extolled her as being almost a saint. They extolled her as somebody who embodied Christ's message for each of us. She gave that child 8 wonderful years, though she lost 8 years of her own life by the world's standards and measures. And if we don't know why, in looking at her life, those 8 years, why people saw glory, then we may not understand this lesson from John's Gospel. Our lives, Jesus says, I need them. Amen. Will you bow with me? Lord, teach us again that life is not about what we get as much as it is about what we're led to give. Forgive us for our preoccupation sometimes with ourselves, all the trappings of life, and strengthen us by your Spirit, we pray, to surrender to your purposes, and to know deep down that we are not here this morning for any other reason but to glorify you. Open our eyes to the needs of those in this community and beyond. Loving God, use us in whatever way you would, for whatever cause you would, for whatever reason that you would, always to your glory and the welfare of your people. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Receive the benediction. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, may the grace and peace of our Lord go with you on your journey, wherever he may take you. May he guide you in the wilderness and protect you in the storm. And may he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into these doors. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.